Good morning, everyone. How are you? let me start off by asking you, if you have to think of your favorite place to go and eat lunch, where would it be? And if you ask, if you're like me and like my daughter, you mostly ask for a toasted sandwich. All right. Now, if you are, don't worry, it's going to get spiritual soon. But what do most waiters ask you if you ask for that toast? Immediately when you ask for the toast, what do they ask? White, brown, or whole wheat? So we're going to talk about white bread and whole wheat bread this morning. We're going to talk about our diets. No, don't worry. Not about the diet, but you can think about your diet also if you want to. If the Lord convicts you of your diet, it's not me, it's Him. But what is the difference between white bread and whole wheat bread? If we can get up, is my slides there? Are they there somewhere? There we go. That on the left there is a wheat grain, is that right? Okay. So wheat consists out of three parts. It's the bran there on the left, the brown part, the fibrous part. Then you've got the endosperm, that's got all the energy. And you've got the germ here at the bottom. White bread is they remove the bran and the germ, and you only have the endosperm. That's white bread. Whole wheat bread is all of that together. Okay, you with me? I'm not a doctor or a biologist or something, so this is as good as it's going to get from me, my explanation. But the energy, yes, is in the white part, but the most of the vitamins and the fiber is in the other two parts. So if you only have white bread, you miss out on all the vitamins and the fibers. The next slide there says the fiber assists with your digestive system. It lowers the blood sugar. And it has all the vitamins, the parts which are thrown away with white bread. Those parts actually have the vitamins and helps you with your blood sugar. Are you with me? So what is better? No, yes. Yes, that's also a good answer. We'll get to that later. The Bantings, the Banting people. You know, they, like 8 years ago, I always believed I can't eat the fat on the chop that I braai. Nowadays, thank goodness for Banting. It's not actually the best part. But then you must get rid of the carbohydrates. Anyway, it's a different story. And I still eat bread. But my question here this morning is, what kind of a Christian are you? Are you a white bread Christian or are you a whole wheat Christian? And I will use an example. Here I see a lot of question marks on people's faces here at this moment. That is great because that makes us think. An example, I would say, of a white bread Christian, and I include myself in this, is the word that you receive from God, you only receive it when you come here on a Sunday. So in other words, somebody else has digested it for you almost. The bran is away, and you are just getting the white bread part. You haven't digested, you haven't struggled, you haven't wrestled with God. You can just come and somebody else's revelation gets told to you. And that is how we live, is we live for other people to tell us about God, for other people to bring us the revelation of God. If our walk with Christ is that we only receive when we come to church, we're almost like, wait, I need to go to church today to receive something from God, white bread. I still see a lot of question marks. But it's good. Maybe you're starting to ask yourself now, what kind of a Christian are we? Are we Christians? I'm asking you, how's your spiritual diet? Are you eating just that white part? And I'll use another example. If you do an endurance event, mountain bike for 40 kilometers in the mountains, you know that, and I've done that, and I would like to do it again. But if you do that trip, while you're doing that, you can drink, you know, all these energy drinks. You can, and they all just contain sugar. It's the, but during that event, that is fine because that's what your body needs. It needs that energy, energy, energy. But we all know that you can't live on Kit Kats. Maybe you can eat a Kit Kat when you, or no, sorry, what should I say? Maybe you can have an energy drink while you're cycling, but we all know you can't live on energy drinks. It's not, we all know it's bad for your system. So as Christians, what kind of a diet do we have? Do we just have something that somebody else has digested for us and we just get the good parts? Or are you with me? Do you understand my question? So what kind of a Christian are you? What kind of Christians are we? We all know that eating in that manner, you will have long-term problems. It may be short-term, and even with kids, it's a struggle, you know. They just want the cookies and more cookies. But I know you can have a cookie maybe every now and then, but you can't live on cookies. And maybe you live on cookies for 2 years, but then everything is going to pack in. So we know that it cannot be like that. So spiritually, we sometimes live like that. And I think, and including myself, is that we've got tendencies with our type of society that we live in to be very white bread type of Christians. We are not whole wheat type of Christians. And the world doesn't make it easy for us. Okay, don't worry. It's going to all become clear. So I see some problems with being a white bread Christian. And this is definitely not all of them, but it's just some of the things that I thought of. And then I'm starting to, and I see the stuff surface in my life as well, and that's why I need to address it. One of the things of that people struggle with, Christians struggle with, is they struggle to mature, to become mature Christians. And I'll read from Hebrews 5 verse 11 to Hebrews 6 verse 1. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. And in today's service, you can almost replace that those with, you need white bread and not brown bread yet. You know, we all know that as kids grow up, that it's the mother's milk in the beginning is the best thing you can have. But at some stage, and that age varies, or people have different opinions on it, but at some stage, you need to start eating meat, you know, solid foods. You need to start eating something that you have to chew on, that you have to learn to digest yourself. You cannot continue to live on that milk, although it is amazing. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. I want to stand on that a little bit. Unskilled in the word. If I can ask you, you know, our church does a lot of things, has a lot of events, ministries, etc. If I have to say, you have to limit it to two things. And I'm not saying I'm right. This is what I think. But if you have to limit it to two things that we should not get rid of, but all the others can fall away, what would you say those two things are? Should be events in church. Small group. Outreaches. The two that I have, and I'm not saying anybody is wrong, I have say small group. I almost wanted to preach on small groups. Why do, you know, I was starting to prepare to explain why we should have small groups, or what's the purpose of a small group, and I'll probably do it on a later stage. And the other one here is, I say, the Word of God, or let's call it Bible school. And I think sometimes we as a church have to say, hey, but what are the fundamentals that we cannot get without? And what I want to say with Bible school, I'll replace it with studying the Word of God. Because I've done all three Bible school years. Does that mean Theo stops learning and chewing on the Word? Now, Bible school 3 is finished. You can leave the Word. It cannot stop. That small group interaction, Christians living together, but then constantly digesting the Word of God. Not it being given to me, you know, with digested already, and this is the good stuff. But that digestion of the word, that working through the word, those things, and that's why I get to Bible school, those are the fundamental things. And this scripture says, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness, unskilled in the word. What I want to say here is, the purpose, the aim is for each and everyone that is a Christian is to, at some stage, we stop running to other people to give us the answers on some issues in life. At some stage, you grow and you start, you learn that skill, and we're going to get to that, and you can answer that thing yourself because you've studied the word and you know what the word says in this situation and you live with it. And what I see and what we must trust God that we get rid of is that some of the answers about things in life, and I actually think God does it on design sometimes, is he doesn't give it to you through other people. You don't get the answers. He wants you to go and figure it out with him yourself, where you start becoming skilled in the word, that we don't have to run to somebody else always when it comes to a financial problem in our lives, when it comes to a marital problem or whatever we have, when it comes to whatever problem, but that you have learned that skill in your word and you're a whole wheat Christian which says, no, but I know how to digest this thing and to get through this because I've been through it. But our society, and I talk about this always, it sets us up for failure because it tells us, and it is kind of true nowadays, you can get an answer on anything immediately nowadays. There is a solution to anything immediately. You just search on the internet and you get it. But what I've learned, maybe it comes with time and with marriage and with children and all of that, but some things in life, skills that you learn, just takes time. It takes time to work through it. And some things don't get solved within the moment. And maturity would be is where you realize that things don't get solved immediately, but you don't jump the ship. You don't throw everything in. You're not cross at God immediately, but you just steadily walk through it. Okay, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Are you following me here? But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Constant practice. The Afrikaans word is very nice in this instance. It says you've got abilities, vermoëns. You've got spiritual abilities. Have you trained yourself to have certain spiritual abilities where you are not reliant on everybody helping you all the time? You know, they say, I don't know who they are, but any good artisan, like a carpenter or a whatever, anything in life, they say, takes about 10,000 hours, and then you're pretty good at it. Then you are pretty good at it. Then you can do it. So, and that doesn't change with the internet. It doesn't change. You're not a good carpenter because you've got access to the internet and how carpentry works. Then you're a carpenter like I am. I've got a saw and a few drills. Whatever I make, everybody can see. This guy's got about 100 hours of carpentry skills. You can see it. It's still, it works and so on, but it's not a 10,000 hours skills. So what I'm trying to say here is some things in our lives, just like this scripture says, comes through training and doing it over and over and learning and getting good at it. And we learn, we start acquiring spiritual abilities and we become more stable in life. Does it make sense, people? And we can distinguish between good and evil. So how does this, what happens sometimes in life? And I say this also all the time, is please, let's not pray anybody that does not know God yet and that becomes a Christian, that all problems and traumatic events disappears or will not hit you when you become a Christian. That is a lie. Some stuff still happens. Now, a mature, whole wheat Christian acquires the skills to, in that time, walk in the flesh and not, walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. He goes through it. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not around it, not skipping the shadow of death. Not we don't skip those things, but we go through them. And somebody, okay, I'm talking about whole wheat versus white bread Christians. We're struggling to mature. I believe God wants us, each and everyone, to mature to a place where we walk through certain things and where we don't see results immediately. I use this example in the first service. You know, sometimes we get a promise from God. Maybe you say you want your family members must come to Christ, must get saved. You know, and then you get the word, yes, the Lord is going to save them. Then we make our own, almost like how we think God is going to do it. Oh, so by Monday, the mother is going to get saved. By Tuesday, the brother is going to get saved. And next week, Sunday, everybody's going to be saved. And we come to Monday, nothing happens. Tuesday, nothing happens. Wednesday, nothing happens. And next Friday, we need another prophecy. Because God was disobedient. God didn't do what he said he would do. That's flimsy, man. It's flimsy. It's shaky. Scripture talks about that we must stop being tossed around to and fro. Amen? I'm going to get to that a little again. I just want to drop something here. You know, sometimes, okay, what are the three fundamental, let's say the three building blocks of having a foundation in Christ, and on that foundation, God can build something. Without that, you can build up to here, then it falls over. Build a little bit, it becomes shaky. What are the three foundational things? You don't have to answer. I'm going to answer them. And again, they might not be completely correct, but that's just what I think. The three foundational things, and the reason I'm throwing them out here is we can't be so afraid to call a spade in church. And luckily, I don't get paid by the church, so they can't fire me. So I can say what I want to say. But the three foundational things I believe for you to have a spiritual foundation, and I'm just going to say it and then I'll leave it, is you have to get saved firstly. You have to give your life to Christ, not come to church. No, that's not what it means. It means a surrender to Jesus. Give it to you. I stop. And then you still come to church. But it is a self, it's a deliverance. It's a redemption. That's the word I'm looking for. Repentance. Second thing is you get baptized. It's this act of obedience. It's all it is. It is, yes, there's a lot to understand about it, but it is an act of obedience. And the baptism I'm talking about is the one where you go under the water like this much, at least 3 centimeters. No, it's a baptism. It's a real in the water thing, not a, you know what I'm trying to say. It's immersion, yes. That's, and the third one is that I'm sharing these with you because I've experienced them to be the three building blocks, my foundation, and without them, I didn't get a lot of growth, or my growth was stopping. The third one is getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. If somebody lays his hand on you, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you struggle to mature? Get your foundation right and ask God for you to start walking a consistent walk with him. Get yourself skilled in the word. Amen. Second thing. You still following me? White bread Christians struggle to persevere and to conquer. And I want to read from Judges there. But before I read, I would like to summarize the book of Judges for you a little bit. Judges, it's a bit of a sad story in Judges, what the Israelites go through. And the typical cycle that they go through is the Israelites are just become disobedient. They leave God. They forsake him. They forsake who he is, what he said they must do. So they're disobedient. This is the cycle they're going through. Then God, so they rebel. And God lets them over. In most cases, they get oppressed and conquered by other nations. And then God later on has some mercy on them again. And he raises up a judge. And different ones. If you read the book Judges, they're different ones. And I'm talking about Gideon. And then that man is obedient for a while and gets the nation out of that cycle. But then they fall back into that cycle. That's what happens in Judges the whole time. But, and in Gideon's case, there's this one scripture I want to read you. Judges 8 verse 4. Then Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. Weary yet pursuing. It doesn't say weary and stop then. And what I can only promise you that sometimes God, and maybe this is where I should have used the example, where God promises you something, please just expect resistance so that you're not confused when the resistance comes. Because God doesn't give a promise and then the devil is not going to try and steal that promise somewhere along the line. He's going to come. But if you expect it, and you can, and it's fine to be honest with God, and I'll get to honesty a little bit later. But as God gives you that promise, my family is going to get saved. Just be persistent in walking in it and expect to get tired and expect to get resistance. But when you get to that, don't drop the ball completely. Like this scripture says, they were weary, they were tired, it didn't work out, but they still pursued. And if you read a little bit later in Judges, then they did conquer the enemy. But if they would have stopped there, they would not have conquered the enemy. Now, I don't want to paint this picture that we must be these tired Christians who, oh, we're going to persevere, and we'll crawl into heaven, that kind of thing. That's not what I'm saying. But learn the skills. Eat some whole wheat bread where you acquire that skill to persevere in circumstances. And it's tough. That's why God, I believe, part of it, why God gives us a Christian family, that when you go through those processes and you say that, I want to give up, then another brother can come and say, no, I'm going to pray for you. Let's do this. But so many promises get dropped by the side when we experience some resistance. And that's not from God. That promise is yes and amen, but there is going to be some resistance. Acquire the skills to go through it, to persevere. Amen? The third one, and I can't find too many scriptures about it, but I believe whole wheat Christians that wrestle with God, and you know, not just real Christians that talk with God, have a relationship with Him, we become prophetically relevant and we're prophetically obedient. What am I saying? I'm saying that God has a specific plan for you as an individual, for you as a family, for your work, for whatever sphere you get yourself in, for this church, for your small group. And you have to be prophetically looking, trying to find that purpose in life from God, and then you have to be obedient in it. White bread Christians, if you can call it like that, we come to church every Sunday. That's what we do. We fall into this rut where we go through a religious cycle, and we think we're doing God's will, but God says, no, actually I have a lot more for you, and that is for you to hear my specific prophetic purpose for you this year or in your family, and I want you to live it out. Are you with me? It says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the tribe of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, 200 chiefs and all their relatives were at their command. They understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. I use an example here. Mark, the vet, was talking to me. You know, the Namibia Must Worship is coming up next week, I think. And he was talking, you know, he's experiencing this spiritual battle that's going on. And what I'm trying to tell you is that Mark realized that we're not just going to sing songs on that Sunday. We are going to prophetically declare stuff. And the devil doesn't like it. And he's trying to stop it. He's trying to frustrate us. But prophetically switched on people understand what our purpose is and what our drive should be and what our aim should be. And we know that we're fighting against the spiritual atmosphere. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's not people that just religiously, you know, come to church. No, there's something happening there. There's a specific purpose. And if we start trusting God that we start eating whole wheat bread and we struggle through those things, we wrestle through those things, we ask God until we get an answer for certain things. So for instance, what is your, what husbands must do this. What does God want from my house? How does he want my children to grow up? And he wants the husband to intercede and to stand in the gap and say, Jesus, I want to do what you've called us to do. Not think that when I come to church every Sunday, they're going to all be all right. You know, when I became a Christian, I went to church every Sunday. Maybe at varsity where it was really bad, I didn't go to church every Sunday. But I went to church every Sunday. Now I'm starting to see in my life, I'm going to church every Sunday again, and that's all. That's not supposed to be all. That's not supposed to be all. I'm supposed to come to church. Yes, I hope I'm making sense. I'm supposed to come to church with a revelation. I'm supposed to go to small group with a revelation and a contribution and not wait for the small group leader to give me the white bread, the white bread, the white bread. But I come with some brown bread or whole wheat bread that I've digested and I come to give something. Amen? And I see it in how I pray sometimes. If our prayers become ones like, Lord, help us and bless us and protect us tonight. Let everybody sleep well. Bless my finances. Amen. That is not prophetically obedient when we pray. And what I also see is the moment we start getting into God's presence and he starts talking to us, we actually start praying like this. Lord, bless my small group. Father, I pray for George. And I know he's struggling with this. Lord, in Jesus' name, I prophesy this scripture over his life. Father, I pray that you will set him free. Father, I pray for my business that you will help us to get through this tough time. In Jesus' name, I prophesy the people that work in my house. I prophesy for my children. Father, I pray that they will experience your presence, that they will understand you, that they will know you, they will experience you. I pray for our church, Lord God, that we be relevant in Jesus' name, that we'll follow the purpose and the calling that you've called us for. We pray different. How's your prayer life? My prayer life can be so boring sometimes. I need to wake up in Jesus' name. I must become prophetically relevant and obedient. What I also want to say here, I think one gets two sides of the coin. And I don't think either side is correct. The one side is somebody that says, oh, I just don't know what God wants from me and what his plan is for me. And the other side is, hey, I didn't know God. I didn't even know God has a plan for me. That's all right. I just come to church every Sunday. I don't think either one of them is correct. I think this side here, which constantly is, what is God's plan for me? And you get stuck there for 20 years. The answer is just, man, just go back to the normal job you have. Do it properly. Ask God to give you the strength and energy to do it. Walk into your house with some authority and with some love. And pray for them, and then just start doing that. Just ask God, what must I do today? How must I be prophetically obedient just today? Not a mission and a vision for 20 years, and you complain for 20 years about the mission and the vision. Just be obedient to what Christ is calling you to do now. Start walking, and Jesus is going to push you and direct you into a direction he wants you. And you're going to experience and find your calling in life as you walk. And the other side is, no, it's not about just coming to church. Seek him a little bit more. Ask him what's going on. Are you with me? Because I want to tell you that it seldomly works like this, that somebody else comes to you and gives you a plan and a specific prophecy of what you must do in life. That conviction, in my opinion, mostly comes between you and God. And people can confirm it. They can see, I see that calling on your life. But that stuff needs to happen in your engine room with Christ, where you eat the whole wheat bread and where your digestive system starts working and digesting the Word of God, the plans He has for you. That's where it happens. Are you with me? So you have to seek and find that yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yaku cannot work out all of our salvations. We have to work it out with fear and trembling. Amen. I'm almost finished. Don't worry. I'll start. The last one, he says, we run to sources We run to all kinds of spiritual sources. I want to get a word there and a word here. Instead of going to the origin, the source himself, Jesus Christ. And I'll use examples like this. Our society is setting us up for failure. If you've got a problem in any area of life, you can Google it. Financial trouble sermon. Christian. Just put in Christian also. Otherwise you get a Hindu sermon. But you'll get that sermon. And you can click on it and you can listen to it. But that's white bread. Are you with me? We can't live like that. That's why I say people that just don't come to church, not involved in church, and just listen to YouTube clips of Christianity, etc. There's a place and a time for it. I'm not knocking it completely. I'm just saying you can't live on that. You sometimes have to go to the source yourself. Ephesians 4 verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And I want to stop, or just read the next part, and then I want to stop. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? So firstly it says we must mature to manhood. But then it says, only to a measure of the fullness of Christ. So what I read out of that is, I can follow God 100%, be obedient in everything from today until I die at 95, hopefully. But I will still be only at a measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that say to you? 20 years being a Christian, room for improvement. 30 years of Christian, room for improvement. 40 years, we will only always get to a measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to grow. So that they may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I'll just stop there. We don't have to read the rest. But being tossed to and fro. I come again back to, what is your spiritual diet? How does it look? How is your spiritual walk with Christ? There's nothing wrong with being tossed left and right at some stage in life when we are knocked by some traumatic thing that happens. But the knocking, it's actually fine to be knocked. It's going to happen. But does it knock you completely off the path of God? Does it like take you on a bypass for 2 years? Or do you get back on track? The devil will knock us. We will get some smacks here, slaps here and there. But my question is, are you a steady Christian? Do you grow steadily? You know, I think, and this is for men and including me, we really have to, if you're married, men, we really have to learn that the majority of that wrestling with the uncertainties, uncertain things in life, you have to do with God and figure it out with God and come and walk into that house and be steady. Are you with me? That is our job. Some of the issues and the stress and the wrestling, we don't go and dump there on our wives. That's wrong. We come, we sort it out, and we don't lie, but we walk in there steady. That's not easy, but that's our job to do, is to protect our families. And where we sit and struggle with God, we wrestle with Him. And the last scripture is just, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The last point I'm talking here about is, or asking you is, what source are you running to? Jesus says, I give life and I give it in abundance. He says, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. He is the source. The challenge for us here this morning, for each and every one of us, is Where do you run to get your answers? White bread Christians, and that includes me sometimes, we wait. Oh, I need to go to church. I need to get something from God. I need to go to small group. I need to get something from God. No, it's not right. You wrestle with Scripture in front of God, and you get answers, and you come to church with a revelation. And there's definitely a need for this. But then you'll probably come to church like this, where God has showed you something in the week, and the pastor will preach about something, and he will confirm what's going on in your heart. The purpose of a Sunday sermon is not to drag everybody to heaven, etc. It is for us to have this dynamic relationship with Christ, where He speaks to them, and God reveals something through you, and then something through you, and we come together and we celebrate what He is doing in our midst. Are you with me? Freddie, you can come forward. I've got just lots of questions here, and I'm almost finished. What is the last thing, revelation, that God shared with you? Where He told you specifically, out of Scripture maybe. What is the last time that we heard from God, that He spoke to us individually? Because I believe we come to a charismatic church, but then we can so easily fall back into becoming a religious church where the power of God is just like, where is it? And I'm not talking, but I am also talking about miracles and healings and all that stuff, but the power of God just manifesting in your life, where you can tell me that I went through this crisis this week and I sought God and He spoke to me about it. You know what? And I've got peace now. Because He gave me the Scripture about that situation specifically, and He spoke to me. I've got peace. That's the power of God. That's the power of God manifesting. What is our diet like? Let's stand. I'm going to close off. But I just want to testify, and I won't go into details, but God is such a loving God that wants to speak to us in the most difficult situations. And the picture you almost have to see here this morning is God's not, and if I come across like that, I'm sorry. God's not here this morning, cross, why don't you come to me? He's like, please come to me. I've got so much to tell you. And I'm not going to tell you everything through your pastor or through your small group. I want you to come to me so that I can tell you something specifically about yourself. Those are the precious things that people can't take away from you. You know, if we constantly just get from other people, and then that specific issue gets knocked, you get challenged in it, it's easy for that thing to fall away. Because, maybe the pastor, maybe it's not from God. But when you go through it yourself, and you find it from God Himself, nothing shakes that. Nothing shakes that. And God wants to speak to us in that way. I want us not to be white bread Christians. We've got so many things that we need to accomplish, and God wants to speak to us prophetically as a church, what we're supposed to do, families, etc. God wants us to be whole wheat Christians when we wrestle with Him. And you know, in the first service, it's also not just about wrestling with God. It's also about just, I use the example, playing in His presence, just being in His presence. You know, a lot of times God just speaks to you when you relax, when you are in His presence, and then He speaks to you. People, God wants to speak to you. That's all I can tell you. And I want you to, all of us, to stop coming to church or whatever event at church and say, this is the only place where I can receive from God. No, this is where we actually celebrate what's already happening in your life. I want to guarantee you, that anything you bring to God, if you really search Him in that situation, I'm telling you, He even gives you scriptures. And then you look at that scripture, and I went through something like this recently, and you look at it, and it first doesn't make sense, and then you pray about it, and you say, oh, Lord, thank you, this makes perfect sense. You're speaking to me. Amen. I want to tell you that God wants to and speak to each and everyone here. Irrespective of what you go through, where you are in life, He wants to use you. And He wants to talk to you. We really have to be careful that we don't become it. And this, I think a lot of churches are like that. It's always about the pastor. What he is. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's about what God does in your life. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll speak to people. Lord, we want to be Christians that mature. We want to be Christians that persevere. Christians that are prophetically obedient. And Christians that walk and run to the source and get from you personally. Get revelations from you. Father, we pray that all our events in Jesus' name will be transformed by just your presence, by where we seek you, where we cry before you, where we seek your presence and we get such a revelation of your character in Jesus' name that we will know who you are. Father, it will shake, but we will not be shaken. Father, I actually pray that you will shake some stuff in our lives. I pray that you will shake us. There's some superfluous stuff that actually needs to be shaken off. And we don't have the ability to get rid of it, so we ask you to shake us. Shake it off in Jesus' name. Shake it off, and I know you will not leave us nor forsake us. So it might feel tough, but at the end we're going to be there, and it will only be us and you. So the stuff will be shaken off, but you will be there in Jesus' name. As I was praying for this night, if you are here this morning and you feel that there's some stuff actually that God wants to shake off, this whole sermon just makes sense to you, and you just want us to pray for you, that God will do His work and His gentle hand will be upon you, but that you will embark on this process where you become a Christian that really digests His word.